going to start in the north part of the country and work south. Okay. And in each one of these slides, there's a picture of a young missionary couple and the number of believers in fellowship and a picture of the believers. Hopefully you'll find it interesting. Gerson came in 2012 and was married to Natalie just a couple years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. They have two small children, and they're working in what was the first assembly established in 1997 in Tauquil, a small farming community on the Honduran border. There are 18 believers in fellowship there. Let's see, there we go. About 10 miles or 16 kilometers away from Tauquil is another assembly established and was established by our brother Cubas, Oscar Cubas, one of the veteran missionaries here, several years after he saw the assembly in Tauquil established. It was just like he went down the road and continued to preach the gospel. When Ross Vanstone and myself visited Nicaragua in 2002, we actually traveled up and stayed with Brother Cubas in Jalapa and broke bread in Tauquil. Today, there are 23 believers in fellowship in Tauquil and a young couple working there. Oscar Altamirano came in 2018 and has been working in Nicaragua. In 2019, he married a young girl that actually is fruit of our labors in the south of the country. Evelyn is a godly sister, and we're thankful for their marriage in the Lord and their exercise to dedicate themselves to the Lord's work in the north part of the country. Daniel and Ruth Rodriguez are from Honduras also. Daniel came as a single man in 2008 and was married in 2014, and they have two small children together. The older two children pictured with Daniel and Ruth are Ruth's younger siblings. Her parents are very aged and are unable to look after the younger children. And Daniel, I admire Daniel very much, and Ruth, they have welcomed Ruth's siblings into their home almost as adopted, gone through the residency process and all that here. So they are living in Ocotal. There's 16 in fellowship in Ocotal. That's not really a clear indication of the work the Lord has accomplished in Ocotal, because many, many, many people have been saved in Ocotal and for work reasons moved to bigger cities. A lot of them have come to Managua, the capital. And so the assembly is quite small in Ocotal, and yet the Lord has worked there and blessed the labor of our brothers. The assembly also was established by Brother Oscar Cubas. So in Nueva Segovia, the northern province, there are three assemblies that have been established with those three young men and their wives from Honduras working there. And Estelí is one of it would be the biggest city in the north part of the country. Israel and Flor Ramos came in 2001. Lovely young couple. They prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for children, and they were never able to have a child until a little miracle baby was born very, very premature. And the Lord worked in such a definite, miraculous way to spare this little girl's life. She's a tremendous joy and a blessing to her parents. And Israel and Flor are a great couple living in Estelí, and there are 43 in fellowship in that assembly. It's one of the few assemblies here in the country that have local leadership, and that is an important thing to point out, and is excellent that there are men there working alongside Israel in the leadership of the assembly in Estelí. There is also a second assembly in Estelí, and Samir, a professional man that was working in one of the main banks in Honduras, quit his job and moved over to Nicaragua to dedicate to the preaching of the gospel, and married a Nicaraguan girl. They have two small children. There's 21 in fellowship. It's on the other side of the city of Estelí, and the assemblies enjoy good fellowship one with another. And so it's good to see how the Lord is working. A little bit farther south along the Pan-American Highway is the city of Sevaco. It's in the province of Matagalpa. No assembly has been established there yet. Silfredo and his wife Jocelyn were living farther south in the country, recently moved to Sevaco, and in the pandemic they moved. They rented a home. They have three small children, and I admire his faith. He sets up the speaker system several nights a week on the front porch of his house and just literally lamb blasts out the gospel. I'm not sure whether that's going to be conducive to good relationships with the neighbors or not. However, he did tell me that several come out and at least look to see what's going on. He said one neighbor pulled out a chair and sat outside his house on the street and listened to the preaching of the gospel. So we certainly trust that the Lord will bless his word. And Silfredo and Jocelyn, they have a good desire to see a work established in Sevaco. Again, he came in 2011 as a single man and went back to Honduras, was married in 2015, and him and his wife have been laboring here since then. You may have noticed the pattern that many of us came to this country as a single man, and the Lord has blessed us with wives and children, and we're very thankful for his work in that way, and particularly to point out his preserving hand. All of these young men that have come over from Honduras have worked under the leadership of Brother Cubas and other respected men here in the country, and we're thankful for that. There's tremendous energy and potential in youth and zeal, and the Lord is using these young couples for his own glory. Oops, I went the wrong way. In the city of León, it's fairly close to the Pacific Ocean. It's one of the Catholic strongholds of the country. Our brethren have labored there, Max and Dolores from 2003, and Josue and Jenny came in 2008. And there's really only 11 in fellowship, including these two couples and some of their children. It's been such a hard city. I think that any one of us would be discouraged, and yet these two couples are working. Mostly they've seen a little bit of softening and open doors with the children, and they've been working in the León area. We pray for them. We've helped them out with gospel meetings from time to time. Coming from Honduras, these brothers and sisters aren't blessed with great resources. Josue, for example, he's a baker, and he would bake bread early in the morning and sell it outside of the what we would call sweatshops as people are going in, and he gives out gospel papers. Or in the afternoon, again, if he has bread left over, he'll sell it as people are leaving their place of work, heading home. And any who are willing to listen and take a moment, he speaks to them about the gospel. Many of our brothers and sisters from Honduras actually have some form of tent making income, so to speak, whether that's electrical work or carpentry work on the side in some way. Of course, many of you will know Tony and Danelle Flett that came in 2004 from the Marysville Assembly in Washington. We were living and working in Dolores, and there's 28 in fellowship there in that assembly. We worked together for a couple years. We moved on. Tony and Danelle stayed in that area. Tony is recognized in the country as a solid teacher of the scriptures and certainly has provided wisdom and stability to the assembly in Dolores. And we've appreciated Tony's help also in the other assemblies, particularly here in the south of the country that the Lord has been pleased to see established through our labors. Mitch and Lori Perrant, commended from Northern Ontario, live in Jinotepe. There's 15 in fellowship, including the Perrant family. And it's just about a kilometer and a half away from where Tony and Danelle are in Dolores. And those two assemblies, really the assembly in Jinotepe was, I suppose you could call it a harmonious hive-off from the assembly in Dolores as believers no longer traveled to Dolores. A testimony was established in Jinotepe in the preaching of the gospel when Mitch and Lori moved in 2008. The assembly in El Valle de la Laguna de Apoyo has no full-time worker in it. Brother Nicholas, pictured here, is a pillar in that assembly, and there are other brothers also that assist in the teaching and preaching and visiting in the assembly in El Valle de la Laguna. It's also one of the assemblies where there is local leadership recognized, as is the assembly in Masaya, where Brother Edwin and Martha Celedon are definitely pillars in that assembly also. In 2008, the Lord was pleased to see the assembly in El Valle established. And in 2010, the assembly in Masaya was established. Our brother John Klingen and Ike Fraser labored mostly in Masaya, and Kyle and I were laboring in El Valle. But because the distance is quite close between these two locations, there was a tremendous amount of going back and forth and fellowship in the work. I'll just mention out that Edwin and Martha, both are COVID survivors. They were knocked out for the better part of a month. First Martha and then Edwin. And we're thankful that they both are healthy again. In the city of Managua, the capital city, just over 1 million people, there are two assemblies. Oscar and Nolvia Cubas. He is the veteran missionary here in the country, to use that term. They came in 1997 to the far north. And so where Oscar and Nolvia are, there are 50 in fellowship. Another young couple from Honduras, Luis and Mariela, excellent, excellent people. They're living and laboring there along with the Cubas family in the assembly. There's 50 in fellowship, and we appreciate what the Lord has done and preserving their family throughout these years. Oscar is quite generous, obviously, in the Lord's work. Also here has donated property for youth camps and conference centers and things like that. So where Kyle and I are working, and our wives and family, Brenda and I and Kyle and Allison, there's 41 in fellowship. We're right downtown central Managua, and we really appreciate that what the Lord has accomplished in the years since 2012, when we started to work in Managua until present. It's been really, really a blessing to see how the Lord has worked in the hearts of believers. There are 10 married couples, husband and wife, in the little fellowship here in Managua. And for Nicaragua, that is very, very significant. Many of you know that we hosted a gospel team a couple years ago, a year-long discipleship. I'm going to skip over, for the sake of time, I'm going to skip over some of these pictures just briefly. Each one of the young men from North America was teamed up with one of our Honduran workers. There's Josue in the bakery. And just to have Spanish immersion and the cultural adaptation. The importance of learning a new language. They studied at a local university, and that in itself opened all kinds of doors for witnessing the gospel and the tent meetings. We had 10 gospel tent series in 10 different locations in the city of Managua, and each series was 10 nights long, with just 2 or 3 days off in between each one of the series to lift the tent up. So at the first series, there might have only been a handful of people, but by the end of the 10th series, there was a good group of 60, 70 people coming on a nightly basis. This is back in 2012, 2013. And we did a similar tactic work style with this last team that was 2017, 2018. Kids meetings under trees, gospel tent meetings, small group with university children. We took a trip to the far north indigenous community of Nicaragua, where some young men studying in the university professed to be saved, and they wanted the gospel to go to their family. So we took a 7-hour boat trip, and I wasn't sure if it was possible to sit that long on a piece of bamboo in that type of a canoe, but we survived and had good opportunity to preach the gospel up in that community. The work in Central Managua, where we have we've done a lot of gospel preaching in the tent, and thankfully we can put up a tent with permission from the government authorities, and a decent crowd will come to the preaching of the gospel. Another thing that we've done is we've worked a lot in homes, just because of the logistical challenges. It's easier to have a home that's willing to host a Bible study, gospel preaching, where people can walk to the meeting and walk home. So we've done those sorts of outreaches as well. At the start of the work here in Managua, we focused on men and had a weekly men's meeting for Bible teaching, where we would study a book. And there on the left is a picture of one of the typical men's meetings that we would have, where we would really focus on what it means to be a man, what it means to be honest and have integrity, and touched on marital issues and also family issues. For the last 7 years, we've rented a building that has cost us $1,150 American a month. And it's a central location where people can come on the bus if they don't have vehicles and go home on the bus. We're trying to see the work established without a lot of reliance on outside income. Now you say, well, that sounds absurd when you're paying $1,150 a month for the rent of the building. It is absurd, and we fully expected to have a location purchased that could simply be maintained by the local Christians, and we continue to pray that the Lord will open up doors, that the assembly here in Managua will have a good location, easily accessible, that will be their own. And it's interesting, just before the pandemic started, we actually were negotiating a house with a decent sized room that could be used as a meeting room. And before we were ready to sign the deal, we had, quite frankly, I didn't have peace about it. And I think I know now why, is because that place would have worked for the assembly on a short-term basis, but certainly would not be conducive for social distancing or things like that. There just wouldn't have been enough space. We appreciate the simplicity of believers saved by God's grace, baptized, meeting together in a scriptural manner and with tremendous simplicity to remember the death of the Lord Jesus, to remember him until he comes. We often would have had pre-pandemic 60, 80 children, not children, kids from the university. They are in residence at the university, often bored in the evening. They're from the different provinces in the country, and they come to hear the gospel preaching. Wednesdays was youth night, youth camp, and some of these other pictures show the work here. The young couple on the right, Kevin, is the first fruits of the work here in Managua. He walked past an outdoor Bible study that we had just off the university campus. And he said, "I wonder what that's about." He went to class. He left class early and ran off campus to see whether the Bible study was, and we were just packing up the chairs. The following week, he walked past again. And he gets to his university class, and the professor didn't show up. So after 15 minutes, he leaves and he comes and he listens to the gospel. The third week, he wants to come and listen to the gospel in the Bible study, and yet he needs to go to class. So he goes to class and he sits in class, and after 15 minutes, he could tell that the professor actually is under the influence of alcohol. So he stood up, he said, "Profe, I'm here to learn, and you're not here to teach tonight, so I'm going to leave." And he left, and he came to the Bible study. And that night, it was the third week, Kevin trusted Christ. He was in a relationship with Isaura. She was not saved and didn't really want anything to do with the gospel. And it was very difficult for him, but they broke up. And he would call me different times saying, "Mark, I'm just concerned that Isaura will not ever find the Lord." We were on furlough one summer in Canada when Kevin emailed and said, "I know you will be disappointed, but I've started to see Isaura again." He said, "I will not marry her unless she becomes a Christian. And I'm not going to force her to do that." So I was very concerned. It's not at all what we would encourage. But what Kevin did was, over the next number of months, he made sure that Isaura was out under the sound of the gospel. My wife and I went out for supper occasionally with Kevin and Isaura. And in one of those visits, she asked a lot of good questions. I could tell that she was thinking serious about her soul. And one evening, after the preaching of the gospel, she was visibly moved. And Isaura trusted Christ. They didn't immediately get married. Of course, he was walking in the fear of God and with purity. And he knew that he needed to see whether Isaura's profession was real. And she proved the reality of her profession. They were married, and they're a stable couple in the assembly here in Managua. The top left is Christopher. Christopher went to university with Kevin. And when Kevin trusted Christ, the impact was so substantial that Christopher started to come and listen to the gospel. And he also trusted Christ. Kevin also saw Aaron, pictured in the bottom left picture, brought to the Lord. And Aaron has a master's in business, and him and Deborah. Deborah is a dentist. She has her own little practice, dentist office, clinic. They intend to be married next month in the will of the Lord. Pictured on the left is Harold and his wife, Justenia. In gospel meetings, this couple started to come, and they invited us over for a meal. And as we were waiting for the meal to be served, I said, Harold, are you a believer? He said, I am. I said, Harold, when were you saved? How were you saved? And he told me a story of attending a fairly large evangelical church. And he talked about coming forward and receiving Christ. And he spoke, I understand that an altar call is not going to save a person. And yet there are, we have encountered people who have been truly born again, not by walking forward, but by trusting Christ. And I thanked him for sharing his story and continued to pray for Harold. A few weeks later, we had them over to our home for a meal. And after supper, Harold says, Mark, do you remember what you asked me when you were in my house? I said, I do. He said, well, what is it? What was it? I said, Harold, I asked you how you were saved. He said, that's right. That night, after supper and after the gospel meeting, I could not sleep. What bothered me was that I told you a story. I told you a story, and you made me believe me. But I did not have what you men are preaching about. And at 1 in the morning or 1:30 in the morning, at the side of his bed, Harold turned from his sin and trusted the Lord Jesus. His precious blood on the cross was shed for him. He said, a few days later, the same thing happened to my wife. Great to see the Lord work in families. Pictured on the top right is Harold's brother. The Lord save them. Pictured on the bottom right is Harold's wife, Justenia, her aunt, and her husband, a very Catholic couple, and the Lord saved them both. The two young men, pictured on the right, are single, Jonathan and Danilo. Danilo was saved first, and he brought Jonathan to the feet of the Savior, quite literally. And we're thankful that they are both in the assembly here in Managua. The short lady in the picture on the bottom left is Yadira. She always wants her home to be used for the gospel. And yet every time I asked Yadira if she was saved, she could not give me a straight answer. She said, don't ask me that question. Don't ask me that question. And yet always was favorable to the gospel. So 2 years ago, and that was 1 year ago, Easter 2019. Before Easter, she called us up. She said, I want you to come visit. Kyle and I went over to visit her. I said, what can we help you with, Yadira? She said, I want to be baptized. It shocked me. Because I said, Yadira, baptism is for people who are saved. Are you saved? She said, yes, I am. I said, well, any other time I've asked you that question, you told me that you couldn't know for sure. She said, I know. And then Yadira proceeded to say how that at the end of a gospel series several months earlier, one night in her own home, she trusted Christ. She said, I just was waiting for the right moment to tell you. I'm not sure why it took her months, but Yadira was baptized. She's in fellowship. She's pictured there with her her family, her sons, her daughter, and their children. And the most of them, as far as I know, Yadira is the only one in her family who is a Christian. Raul, pictured on the left, recently buried his mom. We're praying for his sister, who also is not well. Their daughter, Fernanda, was saved at a youth camp. The dad was very, very opposed. The mom helped the daughter sneak out to go to the meetings at night. And sometimes the mom came also because she wanted her daughter to be able to grow. She was sympathetic to the gospel, but she wasn't a believer until God saved her. And then we prayed and prayed and prayed for Raul. And the Lord humbled his heart also. Raul's a good man in the fellowship of the assembly. The young girl pictured there, that picture is taken several years ago. Juliana, she's 17, never professed to be saved. And we've been praying for her. 2 weeks ago, after the passing of Raul's mom, Juliana's grandma, Juliana trusted Christ. The Lord works in families. My time is running out. Believers in the fellowship of the assembly, I'd like to share a few verses of scripture with you. Philippians chapter 1, 27 and 28. Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. That's the ESV, Philippians 1, 27 and part of 28. Our testimony is extremely important, that our manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, and that we can stand firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened, because there are things that could intimidate people. And yet we need to have boldness and courage in the Lord, wise as serpents, harmless as doves. One of the keys, I think, to the growth in the country of Nicaragua has been the unity among the workers. There are some differences, and yet we appreciate the unity that the Lord has preserved thus far in the work in this country. What I just shared with you actually is a prayer request of mine, that the Lord would keep the work in Nicaragua unified nationally, but particularly in the local church, that there would be unity. Acts 11:23, when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. And he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. And this is a second prayer request, that we all would remain faithful to the Lord. We're thankful for Zoom and Facebook and virtual platforms, and yet it's different. It's different. Some of our young people have found a tremendous challenge. He exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord. Their life was not an easy one in Antioch. And the exhortation was that with purpose of heart, to remain faithful to the Lord. And we pray that prayer for the saints in Managua. Acts 14:22 and 23, the strengthening of the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying that through much tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. This is a third prayer request for elders, for leaders among the flock. We believe that the Lord is raising up Kevin. I mentioned he was the first fruits. Him and his wife, small family. Kevin shows good discernment. He's not emotionally charged. He analyzes, he thinks more than he speaks. He's a student of the scriptures. We believe the Lord also is raising up Harold. Harold has a tender heart for the people of God. We're wondering if the Lord is perhaps working in Raul's life. He also has shown growth, even in the midst of this challenge, in the challenging times, and in the face of suffering that has even touched his own family. The reason that elders are so important, not only is it biblical, but we understand that missionaries are lent by the Lord to a certain location for an indefinite period of time, and the Lord could move them on. We don't have any intention of leaving Nicaragua. And yet, there are some indications that are concerning with the direction that the government is going. We've enjoyed tremendous liberty in the preaching of the gospel, and know very little of the closed down nature that other countries have experienced. Even our brother Richards could speak in depth to that. And yet we need to be very, very careful. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We pray for the strengthening, the encouraging, the appointing of elders. And I perhaps this last verse in Colossians 4 that I wanted to share is a personal exhortation even to our own hearts. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. Tremendous words when you think of it. Ministry that you've received in the Lord. And yet, there was a tremendous sense of uselessness at the beginning of such a drastic altering of our daily schedule. What am I going to do in my home every day for this long? And yet we've received a ministry, received it in the Lord. We need to fulfill that. Find ways to fulfill that. Thank God for technology. Thank God for the creative ways that we've continued to be able to bless the Lord's people. We've had virtual gospel meetings. People are logged on from more than just Managua. I got a phone call at 4 a.m. on Sunday from a brother in the assembly in El Valle. His name is Wilmer. Wilmer's brother, older brother Stephen, is a bricklayer and has contributed to the construction of houses that we've done for believers. We just recently built our own house here in Managua, south of town. Stephen worked for 1 year for me on the construction of my home. He came with us often to the assembly meetings. Every morning before the men began to work, we would read the scripture and make a brief comment. There were a couple other Christian men that worked also on the construction of our home, and they took turns preaching the gospel also for 10 minutes each morning. Different times when Esteban was with me in my vehicle, he would ask me questions about the scriptures. And I'd answer. On multiple occasions, I said, Esteban, whatever happens in your life, before you die, make sure that you've received Christ. Don't leave this world without receiving Christ. He might be in his upper 30s. Sunday morning at 4, Wilmer called me sobbing. He said, Mark, I'm on the highway. Stephen's dead. He was run over by a truck. After I hung up the phone, I reviewed my phone, my WhatsApp. I sent the link for the preaching of the gospel to Esteban Saturday night at 7:00. WhatsApp shows whether the message has been read or not, and it was read. I don't know if he clicked on Facebook and listened to the preaching of the gospel or if he trusted Christ or not, but it certainly has sobered all of our hearts. There is a ministry to be engaged in. We need to be adaptable and flexible enough and use the creativity that the Lord intends for us to use to continue to share the message of the gospel with people. Thanks for your interest.